Greetings, Missions Podcast listeners. This is a different episode. I'm recording this on the morning of Sunday, September 14th, and Scott is with us as well. This is just for our audio subscribers. You won't see it on YouTube. You won't see it in some of the other places where we put our full video episodes. We wanted to bring you a special episode addressing the events of this week, namely, most of all, the assassination of Charlie Kirk, although it's been just quite a week between remembering 9/11, the tragic slaying of the Ukrainian woman, Irina Zarutska, in North Carolina on the train. And so we felt it prudent to take a little bit of a break out of our normal flow and address those things. But we sound different. I did not want to ask Brian, our producer, to go through his normal process on this. He's already been clutch more than once this week with producing some last minute content. And so we wanted him to be able to rest. But since it is Sunday, September 14th, happy Lord's Day morning. And we want to share some thoughts. And with respect to Charlie Kirk, ABWE's put out a statement, our president's office. I also shared some thoughts, which you can find on my X account or also on the Worldview podcast feed, if you look for that in the Apple Podcasts store or app, I should say. But I do still want to share here a little bit more transparently with us. We have a relationship. You listen to this often. We know each other well at this point. And the shock of this for me has not worn off yet. This one is astounding to me. So young, younger than me, children younger than mine. And I did not know Charlie Kirk, but I know people who knew him. And recognizing that Charlie Kirk was not a right-wing extremist by any reasonable measure. Now, certainly he was on the right, but I know plenty of folks further to his right. He was not necessarily pushing the boundaries of reasonable conservatism. His entire life's mission was free speech, was open debate and discourse of ideas. And to see the cravenness of not only his assassination, but also the glee that people felt. You see it online, you still see it, people rejoicing. Words cannot describe the anger that I feel towards that. And I want to talk about that a little bit. I'm angry both at what happened and at the gleeful reactions to it. I'm angry also at some of the moral equivalencies people are trying to draw. You know, the moment that somebody is assassinated, to immediately respond with, well, I didn't agree with everything he said, or, well, both sides. And the effect of that is to minimize what happened. And I'm not impressed with some of the reactions along those lines from some leaders. I just want to say that personally. But having reflected on it for a few days now, and I was not a follower of Charlie Kirk. I think the longest clip I ever heard of him was listening to an interview with him back in July. It was about a 2-hour interview. Listened to that on a long drive through Tennessee. And I was really impressed. From what I understand, he was even morphing his views on a few things, but I did not know the extent to which he was an evangelist. I knew he was an evangelist as well as a political activist and mobilizer, an impressive one. I'm sorry, but anyone who drops out of college at age 18 and founds $80 million operation and is swaying presidential elections That's a generational talent, whatever you make of him in any other respect. But I wasn't fully aware of his evangelistic zeal. And that came through. And of course, it's coming through now. Now you're seeing every single clip. But I became more and more aware of that over the summer. And I rejoice in that. The effect that he had on young men, which, Scott, I know you want to talk about as well, was truly astonishing. And we should praise God for that. It's funny. I've seen some people complain that he was too political. I laugh because, well, he was a political organizer, which is lawful, is it not? That's I believe that's a lawful profession for a Christian. And yet on top of that, he was also a zealous evangelist and by all accounts lived it out as well in his personal life. My heart absolutely breaks for Erica, for those two young children who will not know their father, will have no personal conscious memory of him ordinarily. But what do we do about it? I think everyone's heard the eulogies now. It's been several days. Well, I think for us as the Missions Podcast family, we are here because we love the nations. We believe that Christ sent us to the nations, and he has. I don't think that we can honestly love all the nations if we do not also have some love for our own country. That will look different for different people. There are different callings. And some people have a missionary spirit. They're very willing to go. They're very willing to be loyal to a new people and a new place far away. And we need those, obviously, to take the gospel to the unreached. But I believe, and you've heard me say this, but just as Paul says that a man who isn't governing his household well should not be a pastor in the Lord's church, just as it's true that you need to be faithful with the small things and the local things before you can be faithful in greater and greater spheres of influence, I think there's also some truth to the fact that you should love your country in a gospel advancing way, praying for your leaders, doing what you can for the advance of the kingdom, for the good of your neighbor. You should do that before you're also seeking to bring that same blessing and benefit to other nations and peoples. We cannot be indifferent towards our own nation. And so that's a point of application for me. Something else that I saw a few voices saying that I think is profound. Friends, I mentioned my anger. There's such thing as righteous indignation. Don't waste it. Don't waste your righteous indignation. Somebody texted me the other day, a missionary, about a social media post. He says, am I wrong? Am I crazy? Am I missing something? It is not wrong to have righteous indignation. Don't waste your righteous indignation. Let it motivate you to do something. Now, there are two ways to sin in your anger. Scripture says, be angry and do not sin. One way you can sin is by being sinfully rash or sinfully hateful to an extreme. But another way you can sin in your anger is by doing nothing and suppressing it to the point where you take no action. And I don't think that's a godly response either. I think that if you have indignation that is truly righteous, use it for the purposes of God. Be about his will. Get in the fight. Some folks have made good comments. Pastor Tom Askell, a friend of mine, he made some helpful observations. In Romans 12, we're told not to take vengeance. Romans 12, 19. But in the next chapter, Romans 13, we're told that the state, the civil magistrate, exists to take vengeance. And so I think we can channel our indignation righteously to recognize, yeah, we should not be vigilantes when evil things happen. in our society or any other society. But the Lord has ordained government to be that instrument of justice. And so it's biblical to pray for swift justice to come to evil people so that, as Ecclesiastes says, the rest would see and would be restrained because they see that the sentence against the wicked is carried out swiftly and firmly. That's a biblical desire, I believe. So I have a few more thoughts that I'll save to the end. Scott, I'll turn it over to you, brother.
I've been struggling to put into words how I feel about all the stuff that's gone on with the Charlie Kirk assassination and the fallout after it. Honestly, I wasn't a big Charlie Kirk follower. I mean, I'd seen a few of his videos. I remember him campaigning pretty heavily for President Trump and felt like, I always kind of viewed him as just like an ultra partisan person and hadn't really paid attention to a lot of the videos that he was putting out there. I did notice how influential he was with young men. And I did pay a little bit more attention toward the end to some of the things he was saying. And while I don't know everything that he said, and I've heard a lot of controversy about things he said or didn't say, the videos that I saw that I really appreciated were him, one, engaging people that differed with him. And the videos I saw were of him engaging with a lot of respect. And I really appreciate that. I think that's a good lesson for any of us, especially evangelists and missionaries, to listen very carefully, to allow people the chance to speak, to hear what they're trying to say, and then to try to give the truth to them. And so while I wasn't like a massive Charlie Kirk fan going into Wednesday, when I came across my screen that he had been killed, and then the way he had been killed, you know, sitting in front of a bunch of students doing what he's always done, it hit me a lot more profoundly than I ever would have expected. One, realizing the impact this is going to have on a whole generation of young people that really looked up to him and listened to him very carefully, and a whole bunch of people that hated him and couldn't stand him, and who were going to be affected by it. I couldn't help but think of his wife and children who were in attendance, and then all the students who were in attendance who watched this happen. And I think my heart really broke for our nation, that we have come to such a profound point in our nation where the talk of violence is acceptable and the acting of violence becomes so expected. But in just, a few minutes of reading the Charlie Kirk killing, I saw about the shooting in Colorado, and it barely even registered with me. You know, later on that day, a massive, there was a shooting in at the Naval Academy, and it just feels like, old hat. And then to see the responses that follow, joy and glee, I think it does highlight the fact that there is real evil in our world. That's kind of one of the big things that I come away with, because I've known that, but helping people to understand that there are people that we don't want to turn into targets of anger and rage and violence, but there is a system behind people that is evil, and it is death, and it's a culture forming thing, and we have to be praying against that. I think on the other hand, we need to be encouraging us, our tribe, as Christians, to not replicate the pagans. Even in the death of someone like Charlie Kirk, who was a Christian and had a strong Christian faith and testimony, we don't mourn him the same way that the lost mourn their dead. We also don't respond in the way that the lost respond, And so while I do think, I know that more of the story is going to come out, it just seems fairly likely that this was someone who was influenced by radical leftist ideologies. And we know there's been killings from people with radical right ideologies in the past. The killing in Minneapolis, or in Minnesota, I should say, of that congressman. Either way, this is a spirit of lawlessness. It's a spirit of death. And Christians don't respond that way. And my prayer and my hope is that Christians will do a few things. One is that they will speak the truth. They will be unashamed of the truth. That they'll be willing to risk their lives to speak that truth. And it may come more and more to that case where if we speak the truth of the gospel, we speak the truth of the law, we speak the truth about what the Bible says, we could be targets of violence. And I think as Christians, we recognize that. I'm just thinking of 1 Peter chapter 4. You know, don't be surprised when the fiery ordeal overtakes you. And the call to see our suffering in the light of Jesus Christ's sufferings, that we are actually participants with Jesus Christ in that suffering. That's why Jesus Christ can say to his followers, love your enemies. It's so countercultural. It's still countercultural. A lot of Christians don't even want to hear that message of love your enemies, because everything within us wants to hate our enemies and to get vengeance and to destroy our enemies. And there is a judgment coming. God is going to take care of those things. But our call is to show the love of Christ. Our call is to speak the truth. Our call is to love our enemies the way Christ has commanded us to do. Our call is to understand that suffering is a part of our life and to see it as participating with Christ in his suffering. And I hope that Christians, in the middle of their anger, which I don't think is wrong, in the middle of their deep concern for our nation, which of course I don't think is wrong, in the middle of their desires for justice, which of course I don't think is wrong. I think the government is given the right and the responsibility to execute justice in this regard. But for the individual Christian, for the church, our calling is different than that. Our calling is to love our enemies. And I think we should look at these as opportunities. More people are going to be talking about faith, about the gospel, about these values now than maybe since 9/11, which is just, you know, coincidentally one day after the anniversary of that 24 years ago. It was an opportunity when people are thinking about life. They just watched a man die. Sadly, so many of us saw that video not even wanting to see it, where you just watch someone go from alive to dead in just a very short window of time. And it causes us to think about eternity. And there's the opportunities to talk about that. How are we going to talk about it? Are we going to talk about it with truth and courage, conviction and love? Are we going to talk about it with the means of this world, which are anger, vengeance, hate? I saw a pastor, a so-called pastor, say, you know, we need to make hate great again. Like, that's just the most unchristian thing I could ever think of. Jesus Christ himself on the cross said, Father, forgive them. And we need to reject that kind of thinking as well. So I think for our pastors and church members here in the States, this is a call for us to uniquely be missionary-like in our thinking about how we approach these things. And I don't think we should shy away from it. I think we should lean into it. I think we should lean into the conversations. I don't think we should make our whole life talking about Charlie Kirk. But this is a cultural moment that God has given in his providence that we should take advantage of fully to talk about the gospel and the truth and call people to repentance.
Thanks, Scott. Very good thoughts. I think you made some good points. Two final thoughts. One, you mentioned the pastor talking about hate. I know who you're referencing. The individual you're referencing is someone I would also differ with on some points, but I will say he also tweeted out a clarification that he meant to say. Basically, he said, hate what God hates, love what he loves, do not make peace with evil, seek to vanquish evil in a lawful manner, avoid foolishness, no vigilantism, be wise as serpents, innocent as doves, and be intolerant of wickedness. That's what he clarified. I agree with his clarification. And I do think that, you know, the Psalm says, right, those who love the Lord hate evil. And so we need to both love and forgive our enemies, but also have a godly disdain for that which God rebukes and calls wicked. But what I want to actually just end with is something really profound that my friend Josh Dawes tweeted out. He's got a podcast. He's a good follow. But Josh pointed out that, you know, many people do think that the culture war is a distraction from the gospel. And I'll just insert here, sometimes it can be, if we're just being honest. There is a temptation that can happen with that. Make no mistake. It's possible to get so sucked up in culture and politics that you forget the gospel, the cause of mission and evangelism. Let's not pretend there's no ditch on that side. There's a ditch on that side, of course. But he said, you know, for Charlie Kirk, it wasn't a distraction from the gospel. It was actually a platform for the gospel. And I think there's something to that. I've seen multiple instances on social media just this week of atheists, of others saying, hey, because of this stark example of evil, I know there's cosmic evil, which means there must be cosmic good. And I want to know more about the Lord. I want to get back to church. I've seen that. That's happening. You know, politics is downstream from culture. Culture is downstream from cultus or religion. Every political question is ultimately a moral one. And what better opportunity for the gospel than to talk about moral issues of our day and relate them to the fact that Christ is Lord. And so I think we can care about culture and be evangelists. And certainly our brother Charlie Kirk, who's now with the Lord, is an example of that. So pray for our nation, pray for the Kirk family. Pray that we would not waste our feelings, or whether it's anger, shock, disdain, but pray that we would channel those all towards being about our Lord's work, knowing that it's not in vain. So from all of us here at the Missions Podcast, go make disciples of all nations. And we'll also have a regular episode this week. But until then, Lord bless.